Thanks, guys.
All right. Morning, all. Whoa, that's loud, I think. Well, I know we got a load of visitors here, as Pastor Kerry said. Warm welcome to you. My name is Craig. I'm bringing a message to you this morning. And for the regulars, I'm back, unfortunately, for you. You got me again. Now, I know you're worried because my accent thickens up when I've been overseas, but I don't think that's happened this time round. So we're all good. We're all good. No, I'm not even joking. I think it's going to be all right. You're going to understand me. You're not going to need a translator. Who was that? Funny man in the crowd. I do the gags. So, Pastor Kerry's already mentioned a little bit about why we go on mission and how compassion has really transformed the way we do mission, and we call that global here at Hillside. We're about to go out to the hill tribes, basically the jungle in northern Thailand. And you know, for all the letters that we send, for all the gifts that we give, for all the finances and other efforts that we make, you know, when we go into the middle of nowhere, when we go into the jungle, when we go to these hill tribe villages, and we see not only our sponsor children, but their families and their friends and the people of their villages, it shows them something that none of the other things do. It shows them that there is a real person who loves them. A real person. A real person that loves them, that would fly all that way out to the hill tribes of northern Thailand and say it to their face. You know, it's not like a token effort. Oh, look, I've got a few extra dollars in my pocket. I'm going to throw them your way. I'll never see you, but I'm going to throw that extra cash that I have your way. It's not that, even though that's a beautiful gesture. This is more than that. This is showing people face to face. It's giving them a demonstration of the love of Christ that we have for them. So before I get into my message, and that's a little bit of a prelude to my message, will you just pray with me? Father God, I just thank you. I thank you what you're about to do in northern Thailand. I thank you that you're sending us to love on the people out there. Father, as we open up your word, as this message comes forth, Father, I ask that we'd open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to receive what you have this morning. Father, may it be life-changing. May it change us from the minute we leave this room, Lord God. Father, I'm asking that you do something incredible today, that the people of God would be changed today. So, Father, I'm asking that you'd use me as your vessel. Make my words your words, please, Lord God. And, Father, may they just resonate so deep in the hearts of the people today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, first up, I want to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and all your well wishes while I was away in London for a month. Some of you asked me if I was going to mention what happened. There's so many things that happened. It was amazing. Obviously, my sister got married, which was a great moment for my family. But really, some of the highlights now, I know you want to know the real highlights. I got to go to see my team play. You know. Look at that. I appreciate the token clapping. So I went to see Crystal Palace play their first game in the Premier League at Fulham. And you know that I have this kind of banter with you, church, where I always say, okay, if God is my focus, my priority, then what I do for God has to trump all other things. And this often comes out when we sing these songs, yeah? Because, like, I'm a 30-year-old something man. I'm nearly a 40-year-old man. It's not like I generally sing songs just on my day-to-day, right? So I find it sometimes is a bit of a challenge to just start singing songs on a Sunday morning, like, oh, let's sing a song. It's just kind of not what I do. But when I go to the football, you know that I love to be loud at the football, right? And we've already spoken about, okay, if I'm going to shout for my football team, then I got to shout louder for Jesus. So I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I went to the game probably two Saturdays ago out in Fulham. I was so excited. There were 3,000 of us. We were in the away corner of the ground, and we made noise. We made noise, and, you know, I thought, this is the only time I'm going to get to the football. I'm going to make as much noise as I can. I loved it. My team won. It was all good. I got home. I was still chatting. I was like, blah, 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 blah. It was so amazing. And then I went to sleep. And for the next 3 days, I had totally lost my voice. So I was walking around like this. It was just terrible. No one knew what had happened to me. I was trying to tell them that I overdid it at the football. But now, so, like, I'm going to have to lose my voice for Jesus in some way, and it's quite scary to me to, like, if you hear somebody just yelping out the front for the next few weeks, that's going to be kind of me trying to lose my voice. But enough of my anecdotal stories. I wanted to bring a story about love to you today. I've been away in a big, big city. I've been away in London. 8.2 million people are there. And in this room, in this place, you lot all know who I am. You lot know that now I'm one of your pastors. You know that I work for the church, so like you know where to find me. But in a big city like London, where it don't matter what you do in this room or around this area, I was struggling basically to try and work out, how am I going to be salt and light? How am I going to be like an expression of Jesus in a big city like London? You know, I found myself in these like unusual and unfamiliar places. I've been in Perth for 12 years now. So, you know, there are places that I can go home to, and they're just not as familiar as they used to be. And I found that the pace of life in London, it's fast. It's fast. You know, people ain't got the time to sit down with you and just, like, have a chat. It's transactional. And so there were very few opportunities for me to just go, oh, let's sit down. Let me share the gospel with you. Because people are just, like, buzzing past me, left, right, and center. And so while I couldn't speak to everyone, I ended up having to go, all right, my actions, I got to do something. So it's got to be in my actions. Okay, and I might not be able to spell this out to everyone that I meet, but I'm going to love on people. I'm going to care for as many people as I can. And I'm going to try and be full of grace to as many people as I can. Just because Jesus asked me to be that. So, you know, it got me thinking about this love that I could show in action. And, you know, this love, it is an action that should set Jesus' people apart. Did you know that? We should be set apart as people that love Jesus by the action of our love. People should know it. There's this verse, or a couple of verses in John. It's John 13, 34 to 35. It says this, a new command I give you. These are the words of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think you've probably heard that before in this church. I think you probably know that Jesus doesn't just throw around new commandments left, right, and center. That's why it's so important for us to continue to grasp the magnitude of this passage. I want to just break it down into two very simple parts for you. The first verse says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You know, Jesus is talking about such a purity of love. He's talking about the love of Christ. This love is not earned. This love is undeserved. And this love is unrelenting. You see, this kind of love is not tainted by the response of the recipient of it. You see, if I'm loving on someone and they kind of go, dude, you're an idiot, that doesn't mean I go, oh, I don't like you anymore. I'm not loving you anymore. That means I need to love on them even harder. That means that person that I'm trying to love on and they spit in my face, I need to be unrelenting with it. You see, I take my cue from Jesus. And sometimes when we hear this commandment about love, and we hear, as I have loved you, we can kind of gloss over it. Like, yeah, yeah, I get it. Like you love me. Right, I get it, God. Like, that's all good. But I don't know if we do. I want to connect that verse to Jesus' journey to Calvary. Love one another as I have loved you. You see, that means that Jesus himself didn't stop loving us on his way to Calvary. You see, the first time he got whipped, the first one, he never stopped loving us. You know, the first beating that he took, he never stopped loving us. You know, when he was spat at, when he was mocked, like straight up, this guy is mocking him before his death. He's having to look this guy in the eye while he's being mocked, while they're putting messages up over his head when he's on the cross. Here's your king. Here's your king of the Jews. Understand that. Jesus didn't stop loving us. I can't even comprehend. A man cuts me up on the road. On the road highway this morning, I'm like, I love you. It's hollow, man. You know how hollow it is when you know what's going on in your heart. And you're like, whoa. And no one's beating me. And no one's whipping me. And I'm not about to be sent to a brutal bloody death. I just got cut up on Roe Highway. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, as he took his last breath, he could have said anything, man. He could have just said, you know what, Lord, I'm done with this. Give it to them. And he goes, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. After that level of beating, forgive them, Lord. So you're starting to hopefully see what I see and how I feel about these verses now and what's been happening to me over the last month. Love one another as I have loved you. Is intense. It is outrageous. It is so countercultural. I can't even believe. As Jesus has done, do the same. I hope the magnitude of that statement, church, resonates with you today. And then, you know, we look at the second half of that verse. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Everyone will know by our love. Jesus is kind of saying, you know what, this is going to be our trademark. This is going to be our signature. People are going to know us because we love. It's going to be our thing. It's going to be the thing that sets us apart from everyone else. People are going to know it. And you know, like, I look around this room. True, like, I look around this room, I see the love of the people in this place. You know, whether you've been here for 5 minutes or 5 years or 500 years, like, seriously, there is so much love in this room. I can tell you stories about so many of the people in this room just loving on me. For what? For no reason at all. I remember when I come to this church, however many years ago it was, and people just loving on me. And I was like, what is that about? Who does that? I remember Nathan isn't here today, but Nath Hendry. I remember maybe a month after I arrived in Perth, and I wasn't like a pastor, or I didn't want to be one either. I was just chilling with Nath. And I remember I couldn't get around nowhere. I'm used to London, like public transport, boom, boom, boom. You're on a bus, you're on a train, you're on a tube, you can get to wherever you want. And then you come to Forest Field. Woo! I'm just going to catch a bus, Nath. Like, sitting there for an hour and a half, like, what? Where are the buses? And Nath just goes to me, boom, hey, you know what, bro? Why don't you have my car? I'm like, what? We give cars away in Forest Field? Like, no strings. It wasn't like a rental agreement. He just said, here's the keys. You can have my car. I remember that being one of the first expressions of the love of Christ that was in him, that he just didn't have, like, boundaries on his generosity. He just wanted to show me that he loved me, that he cared for me, that he just gave me his car. You know, there are people in this room that I look around and I just go, man, your love for maybe myself or even others that I've observed of you is incredible. It's incredible. You know, on a Tuesday and a Thursday, I'm privileged because I get to see some of the people from our church that take time out of their week to come and serve in the food outreach. It's incredible. You know, they spend hours just serving people from our community for no benefit of their own. And I sometimes I'm standing out in this kind of area behind the stage, and I'm just seeing them at work, and they're just loving on people they don't know. They're not getting anything back from them. They just want to love them. And I love that our church does that. I love that our people do that, you know. Oh, by the way, like while I'm thinking of that, I just, Sharon, you caught my eye. You're one of the people. You know, I see you. I see you out on a Tuesday, and you just love on people. And so I'm calling you out. Happy birthday. Happy birthday on the back row. You know, look at the I know we got a whole heap of visitors here, so it's going to get a little bit awkward because some of you ain't going to know each other, but look at the person next to you, man. Like, there are people, I hope you know, there are people right next to you that some of you will know that they've loved on you. They've loved on you. People just next to you have loved on you or spoken a word of encouragement. Okay, maybe they're not sitting next to you. Maybe they're sitting on the other side of the room. You can point them out. You can pick them out. There's so much encouragement in this place. And it's a great thing. But how well would you be recognized outside of these four walls? You know, this is something that's happening for me. I'm not pointing the finger this morning. But how well would people know that I follow Jesus outside of these four walls. In a city like London, man, that's difficult because people are whizzing on by you. So I just resigned myself. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm on the trains and on the tubes every single day. I'm going to pick up as many suitcases. I'm going to pick up as many prams. I'm going to help as many, like, little old ladies that I can. Like, I'm going to serve in every which way I can. Now, my beard was a bit thicker, and I had a backpack on and a peak cap on. And in a city like London, people thought probably I was up to no good, to be fair. So it was just greeted with this, like, what's in your bag? Why are you talking to me? Quite often. And even that, I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to help you. I had to make sure my heart was right, that the people's responses to me was not going to taint my love for them. I wonder how each of us, how we're known outside of a church situation, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, with our next door neighbours. I'm asking you, church, take a moment. This isn't like a hypothetical. This is the real stuff. Because Jesus says we should be known by our love. How's it going with your next door neighbor? How's it going in your school or your workplace? Would we be known outside of these four walls for our outrageous love? You see, it's kind of easy to gain a reputation, even when we don't mean to. You know, it's kind of ironic that I'm bringing this message and I'm talking about reputation, because even Pastor Kerry mentioned it. He's like, yeah, we got a new prime minister overnight. And we're all like, dude, has it changed again? You know, the memes and the satire around the state of our political kind of climate at the moment is outrageous. I don't think they intended to have such ridicule upon them. So whether you like what's happened or you don't, I think the reality is a significant proportion of people have a tainted view of our politics now. It's quite easy to just throw a little bit of ridicule in there because it is so ridiculous. I don't think they wanted to be known for backstabbing. I don't think they wanted to be known for a lack of unity. And just for the record, I also pray for our new Prime Minister. You know, this isn't about mockery or anything like that. I pray for him too, and I hope he does become known for displaying the character of Christ in action. I hope he does become known for the character of Christ in his policies as well. That's important. We can gain a reputation through our action or lack thereof. So I wonder how much of our reputation in our communities, in our families, in with our friends, is built upon love. How are we known beyond these four walls? Would you or I be noted for our love outside in the community, with our neighbours, in our workplaces, with our friends? You see, Jesus, he had this ability to put this love into action no matter where he was. And in the most obscure or unusual of circumstances. You see, he often practiced what he preached before he had preached it. And I want to show you just another example of Jesus showing us how he loves us. He's actually going to give us an example of his love. And it's in John 8:1-11. It says this. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." You might have heard that story many, many times before, but it's important we understand the format that Jesus took with that. You see, he wanted to demonstrate his love before telling that lady the truth. You see, Jesus could have started at the end. "You sinful lady, you need to stop." But he didn't take that route. That would have been the truth. But he wouldn't have demonstrated his love for her. You see, just like this lady, how often do we require a demonstration of God's love before we receive a revelation of it? Because I can tell you, and Jesus can tell you, how it's meant to be. But if you're anything like me, being shown the love of Christ, that can bring enough revelation in itself. You know, sometimes we want to go out into the world and tell them how they've got it wrong. You know, sometimes we want to leave this place with the Word of God in hand and start pointing the finger. You know, sometimes we leave our meetings and it's possible that we can cause more condemnation than showing compassion. But this great love is what we're called to do. We're called to do it by Jesus. It's our great opportunity, our great trademark to share. It's who we're called to be, church. So I ask you, just as I wrap things up, will they know us by our love today, church? Will our love be so consistent, so overflowing, so much at the forefront of who we are, that those around us in any situation or in any circumstance, they'll know? They'll know this great love that we carry. It's who we're called to be. This is what the world should know us by. The world should know us by our love. I want to ask you to take a moment this morning. And maybe if I can ask the band to come back to the stage. You might have one person or a group of people or a place. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your school. That you can show a bit of love to today. I wonder if there's conflict. If you have a conflict in your life today. I wonder if there's a person you're in conflict with that you could shower with the love of Christ. I want you to think, church, because it's the journey that I'm on as well. I'm not pointing the finger today. I'm saying, man, this is what we're called to be. You know, is there someone you can bless today? Is there an act of kindness? Is there a word of encouragement? Is there an act of service? Is there some kind of thoughtful message that you could send? You know, is it as simple as giving someone a hug? Church, there are so many ways that we, the people of God, should be able to pour out His love. You know, one thing that I've done just in the last few weeks, you know, the way social networks have gone and, you know, my life moving over from the UK, you know, I've got these, like, I don't know how many hundred friends on some of my social networks, and they're people that I've known from the UK and people that have known me when I wasn't in the church, and, you know, I just got so much love for them. Maybe you've got people that you just don't, you don't see them anymore. You don't actually hang around with them anymore. But they're maybe in your phone contacts. Maybe they're on your socials. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's them. Maybe they're just waiting for one of God's people to go, hey, you know what? I haven't seen you. I haven't spoken to you. Yeah, I've thrown around a few likes and, like, that's about it. But I want to let you know that I care about you. That I love you. That I still think about you. That Jesus loves you. It's so easy. It should be our trademark, church. And you know, if you're wondering, like, what is this love? What is it? It's actually Jesus. It's actually Jesus. He defines love. And I want to close just with one more verse. And it shapes what love is for you today. And I want you to think about Christ going to the cross as I read this. Because I read this time and time again at weddings. It's such an amazing, uplifting verse. But when you put it next to Christ going to the cross and all that beating that He took, man. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And love always perseveres. You know, church, we started off by saying we're going to Thailand. But man, we don't have to go that far. We don't have to go that far. You know, we step out of these walls, guess what? You got a cafe full of people that could probably do with some loving. 200 people going in and absolutely loving on everyone in the cafe. They're not going to know what's hit them. You know, let's not walk out of this place pointing the finger. Why weren't you in church today? In my experience, that doesn't get such a warm response. But we could love, and we could love outrageously, and we could love abundantly, and we could be unrelenting, whether it be Thailand, whether it be deepest forest field. So church, we're just going to sing as we close. And maybe you need a touch of God's love today. Maybe things are tough, because I know they can be. And if that's you, just encourage you, whether you want to come out during this song or come out a little bit later, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you. If you need a bit of love, we'd love to ask God to pour that in. Okay, so why don't we stand, why don't we sing?